Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome and good morning to everybody. It is good to be here together. And together we will encounter God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. Just a brief word of warning to our regular attenders. We're back to our our fall liturgy. So it's a little bit different from last Sunday. So if you pay attention to the differences. But welcome again. And we begin with the words as printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And I invite all those who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Power of your Holy Spirit that's attentive to your word, we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, has mercy on you. Forgives you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God strengthen you in all goodness and the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Amen. Water, would it matter?
Oh, the cup wouldn't matter. You want the water, right? Yeah. You see, our text today is all about cups. And Jesus is reminding us that the external part of the cup really isn't as important than the clean water that is the life of God being poured into our hearts. So, remember, let us all remember, our cups, which are our external selves, ourselves that we do, isn't as important as the love of God being poured into us. So, friends, let us pray. We're going to extend our hands, and on the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together like we're praying. One, two, three. Please repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that you're in my heart.
Thank you that you're in my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading this 22nd day, Sunday after Pentecost, is written in the book of Job, chapter 19. Now hear the word. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my vindicator lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
And our psalm is written on page 6 in the bulletin. If you would respond in the dark print, I will lead with the light print. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer, which does not come from lying lips.
Let my vindication come forth from your presence. Let your eyes be fixed on justice.
Examine my heart. Visit me by night. Melt me down. You will find no impurity in me.
I have not regarded what others do. At the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent.
My footsteps hold fast to your well-worn path, and my feet do not slip.
I call upon you, O God, for you will answer me. Incline your ear to me and hear my words.
Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior, of those who take refuge at your right hand, from those who rise against them.
Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings.
From the wicked who assault me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. And our second reading is written in second letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 2. Now hear the word. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by the Spirit or by word, by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord. Excuse me. Because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them for every good work and word. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second, and the third married her. And so, in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels, and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he spoke of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, friends. It's good to be back. I know I was here last Sunday too, but being gone for another week of a church event does make you feel like I've been gone for a while, so playing catch up. But it was good. It was heartwarming, and it was also, well, we were long around a lot of clergy experiencing a lot of difficulties in their call, and it just makes me more thankful and gracious to be with all of you. It made me ponder, too, that we should all be very gracious and grateful for for the great leadership that this church has had through its whole existence. This, and if you were a part of leadership, now or at any point, a heartfelt thank you to you for the decisions and the sound leadership that you've provided us has placed this church in a much better position than a lot of our fellow sister churches around the city. And so thank you. And with that, I would also say, I'm also come with a lot of joy because we're trying to do a lot of really exciting things here. We're going to be sharing some of that coming up, but the Spirit, I think, is moving in our midst. It's moving in the world, and we're trying to catch that wave. So a lot of exciting things are coming. So please continue your good work, your continued membership, your continued participation in this community. You matter. And thank you. With that being said, I was really excited about this text. I am excited about this text. I love this text. Also didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare this week, so it's a text I've been looking forward to preaching for a long time, but just didn't have quite the time. So if I'm a little scattered, bear with me. But what is this text about? It seems strange to our ears. You go, what in the world is going on? And I think the easiest way to sum it up, summarize it, is this. In our mystical tradition, it's summarized in two phrases. The true self and the false self. You've heard me maybe use these terms before. The false self is all that thing, everything that is not going with you when you die. You know, we have spent a lot of time talking about money recently. And what do we say? It's not going with you. But now Jesus is going to focus on a bunch of other things that aren't going with you into the resurrection. Now, the classification is, of course, true self, false self. The true self is the part of you that is kept safe and hidden in Christ. That part of you is that eternal child of God. Nothing touches that part. The tragedy, though, of the world is oftentimes we don't ever really get to know who we truly are. Now I know when we say true self, false self, the false part sometimes creates a judgment. And so I do appreciate the writing of Richard Rohr, who talks about the true self and the false self in the terms of the metaphor of the cup. Your false self is the cup. It holds meaning. But what is really important is what goes into that cup, what the cup holds. And so, my friends, my favorite word, tension. There's a tension we live with between the cup and what fills the cup. And we have to have that healthy tension. I know if this all sounds abstract, let me break it down to you. You all know I dress like a surfer, right? And there's a couple required elements of a surfing uniform. What? Sandals, cargo pants, hoodie, and beautiful ocean wash care. You can tell a surfer a mile away, and in fact, if you remember, like about a month ago, we had a visitor show up. I didn't see him come in, but I saw the surfboard on the car. I'm excited to go talk to a fellow surfer. I walked out, and lots of visitors that day. I had to look for the person with the sandals, the cargo pants, and the hoodie. Beautiful ocean washed hair. I said, oh, that's your surfboard. He's like, oh yeah, how did you know? Trust the same. Now you might ask me, why do I dress that way? Why do you dress the way you dress? It's simple. You want your clothing to reflect who you are. You want to be comfortable. You want to be your authentic self. And indeed, the clothing we do pick and choose tends to elevate that, right? We want to be comfortable. We want our personality to show. And here's the tension, right? Does I am not a pair of sandals, cargo pants, a hoodie, and beautiful ocean wash hair? I could show up today wearing a dress or a skirt or whatever it might be. Might not be comfortable in it, but I would still be me. And so may we learn to love and protect and build this beautiful cup, which is ourselves. These are good things. But what is more important is the love and life of God that fills with it. Now let's look at our text and see how this is played out a little bit. The Sadducees, of course, come with the question. And that question is not about marriage, friends. It kind of looks like it. And the element of it, it's a bizarre law code that's called the Levirate marriage. And ancient tribal communities all had some form of this code. It was not particular to the Bible. But its primary focus is to preserve two things. One, the name, the family name. And secondly, the piece of inheritable land associated with that name. And so there were laws to regulate that the marriage would stay within the family. So the name would continue, the land would continue. So name and land. Those are important pieces of the cup, are they not? And you might say, even in the well, maybe not so much in the modern world, but and I won't have you have a show of hands with this, but we have lots of visitors today. Maybe you have already asked the question, what's your name? Where are you from? It is as important to us as identity as it was to the ancients. It's your name, your place. Build your identity. Build this. But again, you are not a name. What is a name anyways? It's a sound that we attach some symbolic meaning to, right? It doesn't actually exist in any real sense. And what's a piece of land? Well, you're certainly not dirt. So the cup is important, but the cup is also not you. And then we get another important piece. And friends, let me go out on a limb on saying something. I realize some of you are not, may disagree with what I'm about to say. And if you do, that is fine. We are a church that is beyond thinking we have to think the same way, right? We are united in the bonds of love in Christ. And I can have a different opinion from you. You can have a different opinion from me. But when we get to the line in our gospel where Jesus says, there's no marriage in heaven because you are like angels, I want to point out another piece of identity in this passage. Now, it might also surprise you, if you've never heard this before, that in the tradition, the Christian tradition, Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox, angels do not have sex or gender. They are neutral. You can see it in art, but you can also see it culturally in names. Because angel names can refer to both a boy or a girl. They are neutral. Now, gender is a very important part of our cup. We have a lot of cultural words about that. But Jesus is saying something very profound. This is just part of the cup. This is not who you really are. And so in the resurrection, it's not going to be there either. And this is the meaning, I think, in that ancient baptismal liturgy that Paul quotes, that in Christ there is no Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female, nor slave nor freeman. Because literally, in Christ, none of these things actually exist. See, we build our identity around the cup. And the cup is good. But that is not who you really are. And so after exploring what you're not, now Jesus tells you who you really are. You are a child of God. You are a child of the resurrection. And now we get the burning bush. What a mystery is that? Moses goes up on the mountain and sees the bush that is on fire that never is consumed. And that is the mysterious symbol of who God is. And God issues that word. I am what I am. It's something like God is being itself. And so our being, we are only alive because we participate in that divine life. And Jesus says this at the end, for all are living in God. And that is a present, continuing verb. We have life because it flows from God. It flows from God in this world, in the world to come. And if you buy into the multiverse, in all the forms of the multiverse, the life of God brings life to all things. You, friends, are a participant in the divine life. That is who you really are. And every Sunday, we get to join in the worship and the participation of this. We have our table here. We've talked about all the things you're not. Now let me tell you what you are. You are the body of Christ. You will come forward and receive of the essence of who you truly are. The divine, the beloved child of the Most High. We are all invited into this mystery, into this process of growing into who we truly are. And the hope, the confidence, that even if we don't make it in this life, we will find our true selves in the life to come. Amen.
Amen.
All creatures worship God most high.
Gathered with one voice, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God, our Redeemer, bless your church universal and its leaders. Set all hearts on you from generation to generation in anticipation of Christ's return. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, we give thanks for the fruits and grains of harvest, for rivers and streams, for all that is made of rock and iron. Renew the earth's natural resources and the lands from which they come. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of justice, we give thanks for the service of our veterans and pray for those needing support for wounds of any kind. Strengthen those charged with the governance and protection of vulnerable populations. Bring an end to war throughout the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, who leads us to belief and truth, we give thanks that you are always here. Nurture and support those who are unsteady in mind, unsafe in spirit, or unwell in body, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Dan, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Cataleve Neve and her parents and grandparents, Ed, Steve, Jean, family of Tony Tripp. We also pray for immigrants and refugees that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, we pray for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Comfort those who suffer from trauma and exposure to traumatic events. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, who gathers us together, we give thanks for our pastors and deacons, teachers and musicians, administrators and building caretakers. May they find joy in leadership as we grow in faith together. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of the saints, we give thanks for all who have died in faith. Uplift us as we honor their memory and await your coming in glory. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We offer these and all of our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your grace and unyielding love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around us.
Thank you.
invite us all to gather back together and to please stand for our offering hymn.
Join their unending hymn.
Oh.
merciful, Lord. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, with bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the feast of God for all the people. And we would like to invite all who are here to come forward and receive of this meal. And all for us means all, which means all, which means all, which means all. All are invited forward. In a few moments, the ushers will come and we'll start on this side, and we invite you to fill in our communion rail from right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whatever is more appropriate and comfortable for you. Only extend your hand out to receive the bread. Gluten-free options are available upon request. And then when the wine is passed around, we invite you to either reach in and take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to come forward and only receive a blessing, you may do that also. Just come with your arms crossed. Friends, this is the table of God for all, and you are all welcome now.
Thank you.
us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of field and flower, wheat and grain, you have nourished us with the bread of heaven that gives life to the world. Strengthened by the body and blood of your Son, send us out to gather your good gifts for all who hunger and thirst, and embolden us to love and serve in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen.
Friends, we pause just briefly for some announcements, and we want to start off by saying it's Veterans Day on Tuesday, and a special thank you to all those members of our congregation who have served. With that, the office will be open on Tuesday, but Sandy will be leaving for some much-earned and needed vacation near on Wednesday, so need Sandy, do it by Wednesday. As always, we have a whole host of activities this week, including the contemplative prayer on Wednesday, beach walk / fellowship hour here at 11 on Thursday, and many others. Please see the insert of our bulletin. And with that, let us prepare our hearts for the blessing. The love of God, the sovereign strengthener, God the Son saving, and God the Holy Spirit anoint you for the work of the Holy Trinity, bless you and grant you a faithful and courageous heart, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.